Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, May the 1st, 2025. And as always, we thank you for listening to AFR. In studio with me is Ed's not here today. Fred Jackson's here. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City, it's Ray Pritchard.
Good morning, Ray. Hey, Tim, how you doing today?
Doing well. Is it springtime there?
It is. We've had, you know, we get a lot of storms and tornadoes and stuff. Yeah. So we got, I'm looking outside right now, and we had some weather north of us, and we had some weather south of us.
Right.
And now we just got some kind of gray skies a little bit. But it's nice. I guess typical spring weather here in Kansas City. We're doing fine.
Yeah. That's good to hear. Today's the National Day of Prayer, and it's being commemorated all across America in various and sundry ways, including the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where there's President Trump's going to be participating.
Yes, right? He's going to be doing a National Day of Prayer event at the White House this morning before he departs for Tuscaloosa, where he's going to give the commencement address at the University of Alabama.
Okay, so that's this afternoon or this evening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so he'll be in Tuscaloosa. Air Force One will be landing in Tuscaloosa soon.
Some people are shouting Roll Tide at the radio. Others are saying War Eagle. I was blessed to live in the great state of Alabama once, and let me tell you, those people, they love their sports.
Yeah. That was big Trump country, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he won it easily. I think they closed, and then Fox called it like a millisecond later.
Yeah. So, President Trump will be in the state of Alabama today. At the university in Tuscaloosa. So, Ray, today is the National Day of Prayer. I mentioned that. Why do you think that's significant?
This is the 74th National Day of Prayer, which puts it way back into the 1950s. And we can understand coming out of years after World War II, all the carnage there, they understood back then clearly the need. President Eisenhower understood the need that America will only be as strong as we are when we are on our knees crying out to God. So it's been a wonderful tradition. And I got to admit, Tim, this year, it kind of snuck up on me. I didn't really think about it until I woke up this morning and said, hey, it's May. It's May the 1st. It's the National Day of Prayer. Tim, let me just give you the theme verse. It comes from Romans 15, verse 13, which just happens to be the theme verse of our ministry, Keep Believing Ministries, and one we've held on to for all these years. Let me just give you the verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Basically, if you just look at that verse, a lot of different parts, but just hold on to the one thing, the God of hope. The God of hope. Our hope ultimately is not in Congress. Goodness knows it's not in Congress. It's not in the Supreme Court. Friends, it's not in the White House. Ultimate hope, our hope, is in the Lord. That's why he calls himself in this verse the God of hope. So friends, if there was ever a day for Americans to turn to the Lord, this is it, because he is the God of hope. Turn to him with hope. Believe in him, and this verse says you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything we need, friends, everything we need is in Romans 15, 13. So this is a great day to turn to the God of hope, and I pray, I pray for myself and I pray for America that we today might turn to the Lord because he is the source of all true blessing.
Fred?
You know, I think one of the things we need to be thankful for is that in this country, we still have the freedom to do this. Can you imagine in many places in the world at their city hall being allowed to pray to Jesus Christ our Lord, to give him thanks to the Creator, to give him thanks for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ? And that's what's going to be happening at city halls all across this country today, at the White House, where President Trump will have, I'm sure, evangelical Christians in. Gary Bauer may be there, some of our friends that we have. And so we have a lot to be thankful for in this country. There are a lot of spiritual threats these days. We see where certain political agendas are in direct contradiction to what Scripture teaches. But we still have the freedom to gather openly and to pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to sing hymns of praise. That's what's going to be happening in our hometown of Tupelo today. So don't take it for granted, folks. The freedoms that we have, the freedom of religion that we have, has been fought for. And because people have stayed engaged and the understanding that the threat is out there to eliminate all of these things. And so, number one, be very thankful today for the freedoms that we have in this country to do exactly what's going to be happening at noon today across this country.
And I do want to remind somebody of an event tonight. So while we can't all collectively be together in the same spot to pray with one another, we can all be a part of something big tonight. And Kathy Branzell, the president of National Day of Prayer, told us about this yesterday, and it's an event tonight online that we can all be a part of. Clip 8.
When you get home at night, we're going to have our international broadcast at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And so you can watch that on our website. There is a link that will go live right at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's also on many of your favorite television Christian networks. And we are so grateful for all of our partners.
All right. So that's tonight. National Day of Prayer. What year? How many years, Ray?
74 years.
74 years. All right. Well, listen, we hope everybody will get to participate in one way or another today in your town and community. All right, Chris, what's our first news story?
Well, today? We begin with breaking news, and this
is it breaking?
Quite literally breaking news. It hit just before we came in here. In fact, we caught this as we were walking toward the studio, Fred and I. Michael Waltz is no longer the national security advisor to President Donald Trump. He has been on shaky ground since that first Signal group chat leak. He was the guy many people thought was responsible for allowing a journalist to be a part of that private discussion between various Trump department officials. And he has since been one somebody didn't want in that position. So this morning, after an appearance on television, news broke that Michael Waltz is no longer the national security advisor for President Trump.
I thought he had weathered that storm.
I did, too, because that had kind of gone away. And even when news outlets were reporting that Hegseth accidentally leaked information in a private Signal chat that included his wife and his brother and his attorney, Michael Waltz's name wasn't brought up except in discussions about the first one.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, you know, Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, has kind of been in the crosshairs lately. The media has been on attack about this latest, apparently, leak. And I thought for sure, in fact, the president was asked about this the other day because there were reports that Pete Hegseth had been taken to the woodshed by the president. But the president once again said he has faith in Pete Hegseth, called him a bright young man who's doing good things at the Pentagon. For a while there, I thought Pete Hegseth was really on the outs. But I was shocked to see this morning, especially as you mentioned, Chris, that Mike Waltz was actually interviewed on another topic on Fox earlier this morning. So this has just happened in the last 20 minutes or so.
Well, he was a congressman from Florida.
Yes.
And they just replaced his seat.
Okay, so in the they had the special election in Florida. That's when Matt Gaetz and Mike Waltz were, their successors were elected.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, well, he what was his role?
National Security Advisor. Frequent guest on programs that air on AFR, including
Washington. Well, that didn't last long.
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's kind of like coming in at work on a Friday and, you know, putting in, you know, clocking in, and all of a sudden the boss goes, hey, I need to see you.
Yeah.
That's what I envisioned.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Not that I ever want to go through that with you, Tim.
I understand. Hey.
I appreciate
it. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. So who announced this? Do we know?
Well, Fox was the first one to break it. But Wolf Blitzer is on now. It's even the BBC's. It's news across the pond.
That's a pretty big position, Ray,
yes.
in the administration.
You know, somebody was going to have to pay the price for this. And Pete Hegseth, obviously, buck stops with him, right? But the president was nowhere near ready to let him go. So somebody was going to have to go. And, I think Pete Hegseth's leadership there at the Defense Department, he's been off to a rough and rocky start. Mm-hmm. One can only – and some of it is just things that have happened around him. One can only hope that with this dismissal, we can get to better days for him, because we need him at the Defense Department.
Well, you kind of knew when President Trump selected Pete Hegseth. He is young. He is much younger than many of those generals and others that are at the Pentagon. I can only imagine there was going to be some degree of opposition to having what some of these older gentlemen would say, this young buck come in and tell me what I need to be doing. But Pete Hegseth, one of the things that has impressed me about Pete Hegseth, he is a leader of the troops. I know when he went to Germany there a few weeks ago, he was out running with the younger soldiers in the morning. He was doing push-ups in the snow, all of that sort of thing. And I thought for a moment, wow, I don't think I've ever seen a defense secretary out there at 5 o'clock in the right. morning running and doing push-ups with the guys. But that's what he is. Pete Hegseth, his background, he is an experienced warrior. He has been on the front lines, and now the Pentagon, now our Defense Department is being led by a guy who has come up from the grassroots, understands what war fighting is all about and what the troops need to do the job. And so I'm excited that he's still in that position, but you're right, Ray, he's had a couple of rough weeks.
All right, next story, Chris.
All right. This could very well have been the story we went to after our National Day of Prayer discussion. This morning, Stephen Miller, who works for President Donald Trump, came out and told reporters, he gave reporters the business, as we said in the newsroom. And I say that because Stephen Miller came out and talked about Kilmer Abrego Garcia. That's the MS-13 member that Democrats claim was denied due process when our government kicked him out of the country, saying he's an illegal immigrant and a gang member. But Stephen Miller came out and talked again about how Kilmer Abrego Garcia has a police record, and a whole bunch of other people that have been deported have arrest records and have done illegal things. And Stephen Miller went on to basically scold the media on national television. We had to cut this down, but we still have a little over a minute here. Clip 15.
It is a sad reflection on the state of our media and many of the outlets represented in this room, that you obsessively try to shill for this MS-13 terrorist, while no coverage occurred in your papers about any of the Americans that were raped and tortured and murdered by the illegals that Biden was importing into our country. You know, you talk about due process. The Biden administration made the decision to give extensive due process to two Tren de Aragua terrorists that were apprehended at the border. What was the result of that decision? What was the result of that choice that was made? Those two men kidnapped a young girl named Jocelyn Ungary from her family. They beat her, they sexually assaulted her, they tortured her, they stripped her, they murdered her, and they dumped her body. That is what the Biden administration's policy was. Most of your papers never covered her story when it happened. To the extent that you covered it at all, it was because President Trump forced you to cover it by highlighting it repeatedly over and over again. He had to shame you into covering it.
Wow. That was Stephen Miller at the White House?
Yeah. Yes. And it continued on for minutes.
And I got to tell you, it like Chris says, it went on. He then went on to address these reporters sitting in front of him there at the White House this morning, saying, hey, if I gave you a house in an area where these MS-13 terrorists and others live, you wouldn't take it. You're out there trying to defend these guys. You're out there preaching due process for these guys.
Right.
But if I gave you a house, a free house, free rent, the whole thing, in one of their neighborhoods, you, reporter, you correspondents for CBS and NBC, you would not dare live in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Good point.
Basically, you're hypocrites.
Stephen Miller's the White House pit bull.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. That's what he is. Yeah. And so he's a hard-nosed, but very smart guy.
Yes.
And he's one of the top policy guys for President Trump. President Trump's fortunate to have him around him. And he was with Trump the first time around.
Yes.
So he's
and stayed with him through the last 4 years.
Yeah, he's kind of behind the scenes most of the time, but he is in charge. Well, I don't know if he's in charge. Well, I think he is of a lot of the policy decisions that President Trump's administration takes.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
We have an update. On the Ukraine and U.S. minerals deal.
All right.
After months of tense negotiations, the U.S. and Ukraine signed a deal that is expected to give Washington access to the country's critical minerals and other natural resources, an agreement that Kyiv hopes will secure long-term support for its defense against Russia. This was that deal that Zelensky came to the White House for, and they were supposed to discuss before they got into the shouting match heard around the world between Trump, Vance, and Zelensky. So at long last, we have this minerals deal, which Trump and others are telling us could be a sign that this war is coming to an end, which is something Trump did campaign on.
Why would the war come to an end?
Well, because the idea is if the U.S. has interests over there, it's going to decrease the likelihood that Putin is going to continue to flex his muscle against
Ukraine. I don't believe that. Do you believe that, Fred? I'm not saying you're wrong, Chris.
No,
I'm saying that's
the. I got you.
I think Putin is going to continue on until the United States, NATO allies can find a way to really hurt him and force him to back away. Putin is intent. I believe he is intent in trying to reform a Soviet Union of types. And he is taking his stand. And that's why, you know, that's why he's been playing hardball with Trump over the last 3 or 4 months.
I think he pays him no attention.
Some would say. There is a ceasefire that's coming up in the next week or so for 2 or 3 days for Putin to celebrate some historic event involving Russia. But that's it. It has nothing to do with the efforts that have been made for a real ceasefire in this horrible war.
Ray, we mentioned before you've gone a couple times, you said, to Ukraine.
Right.
And you know, so you know some of the situation over there, and you know the Christians that you fellowship with over there. I don't know what I would imagine it's mostly Catholics over there. Is it evangelicals?
Well, there's Catholics. There's a big Orthodox group, but the evangelical block is growing inside Ukraine. The people inside the country are just war weary.
Yeah.
This has gone on longer than they expected. Let's face it, Ukraine, and I've said this before. I'm very sympathetic to them in this conflict, but they can't win, right? There's no way that Ukraine literally defeats Russia, because Putin, he can lose 100,000 and he can send 250,000 more troops in if that's what he wants to do, right? We're sort of at a stalemate over there, where Russia is not going to send in 1 million troops to completely take over the country. Ukraine, I think the Ukrainian troops, with a lot of help from the West, have fought valiantly. I believe if I had to cast my vote, Fred, I'm going to say within the next month or two or three, I think there's going to be a peace over there, simply because Putin is unwilling to do what it would take to conquer all of Ukraine, and the Ukrainians can't win this war. So maybe, Tim, my view is, hey, I'm fine with this mineral deal. I hope it works out the way the president says it will. I think we're closer to an end to this awful, this terrible war. I think we're closer to the end now than we have been in a while. So I'm, cautiously optimistic that it's going to come to an end.
Yeah, I think, and we don't have all the details of this deal that was announced this morning on these mineral deals, but I think part of it is going to be, I don't think Zelensky would go along with this unless he got a commitment from the United States to continue to arm the Ukrainians. And I think if there's something that's going to make Putin move a bit on this, is that, okay, the Americans are making a commitment to for ongoing weapons revitalization of the arms that the Ukrainians need. So I think this is a signal to Putin by the United States, by the Trump administration, that we're in for the long game with Ukraine now to arm them to fight this battle. I think Trump is hoping by making this deal and making that commitment to Ukraine that Putin will finally seriously come to a table and say, okay, let's talk peace.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see, I guess. I think we all hope and pray that war ends.
Yes.
Because war is hell, as they say, and certainly has been for the Ukrainian people and probably a lot of you Russians who can't raise their hand and say, I was against the war too. But, I would doubt seriously if the average Russian wanted to invade Ukraine, if it meant losing, hundreds of thousands of their own men in this war, and boys, some of them. Mm. And Putin's also got North Korean soldiers over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From North Korea, thousands of them.
With no experience in fighting.
Right. And those poor guys are just sent out into the field to be slaughtered themselves. That's because of the relationship between Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, and Vladimir Putin, Russia. Well, we'll see what happens. The minerals deal hasn't been, as you say, hasn't been announced what it is, but you just wonder, did President Trump say, if you'll sign this minerals deal, I'll be for arming you and giving you more weapons to kill more Russians?
Possible.
And how that sits in Moscow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Putin might see that as a sign of war or an act of
war. Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see how that would be read that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll see. I do think President Trump, he thought this would be over by now.
Right.
Because he thought that him being elected and him being knowing these two fellows, the leaders of those respective countries, personally and talking to them, he'd be talking them into something, a peace deal. But he's been unable to pull that off.
Tim, it's amazing how the pendulum has swung from in just 5 or 6 weeks. Remember the debacle in the Oval Office with Zelensky?
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance and the president, so the pendulum has now swung all the way to the other side, where we have made a deal with the Ukrainians. And that puts the U.S., I'm not saying we're siding with the Ukrainians, but I'm pretty sure that's how the Russians are going to see it.
Yes.
So I certainly hope this pushes both sides to the peace table.
Yes. Well, we absolutely, as something you can pray for today, pray for the end of the Ukraine-Russia war. Because hundreds of thousands of families have been, touched by this in a tragic way in that part of the world. All right, we'll take a short time out right here. We'll talk to James Lambert when we get back. He's got a book called More Amazing Stories of Divine Intervention. And then we'll also cover some more of the news of the day. Stay with us.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this National Day of Prayer. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Fred, Chris, and Ray. And, hey, Ray, just real quickly, when you were over in Ukraine, why were you over there, and when was this?
This was before the war, several years before the war. I was over there twice. Marlene and I were there, middle of the winter, teaching the Bible at Word of Life Bible Institute just outside Kyiv. Beautiful, beautiful country. Some of the best students I've ever taught. And first time we were there, I think, 1 year, and then maybe the next year we were back again. I know we've been there twice. Deeply impressed with the spirituality, the commitment. Ukraine's been through a lot. Over the centuries, been through a lot. And I was deeply moved by the rugged faith of the Ukrainian evangelical Christians.
Now, and I'm going to ask a couple questions. We're waiting on our guest here. That there is a language, Ukrainian language, right?
There is. And it's close to Russian, but it is not identical with Russian. So that, and the further east you go in Ukraine, which puts you over near the Russian border, further east you go, the more native Russians you'll find, the more people speak Russian. And they told us the further west you go, Kyiv, and further west over toward Hungary and over toward Austria, on that side, it's all Ukrainian. So most Ukrainians, in fact, the ones we met, they could speak Ukrainian, they could speak Russian as well.
Now, what are they most known for, the Ukraine?
Hey, it's the breadbasket of Europe.
Okay.
Some of the best soil in all of Europe. So the farming industry.
Okay. Kind of like a Central Valley in California.
Very similar. Very similar.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And, well, that's just, you know, there's a lot known about Russia and Russia's history and the Russian people, but there's not just a lot of known. I don't think most Americans are familiar too much with the Ukrainians as we are with the Russians.
And they trace their own history back, well, a good 1,000 years and maybe more than 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And so they've been obviously been closely related to Russia.
Right.
Across the generations and across the centuries. But make no mistake, the Ukrainians have their own sense of national origin and destiny.
But they were under Russian control during the Soviet Union days, right?
Absolutely, yes.
They were one of the satellite countries.
That's right.
Of the former Soviet Union. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. James Lambert is with us now. James is from California, although I think he's traveling in the South right now. And he's been on with us before about a couple of his books. And James, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Where are you today?
I'm in Little Rock. I'm about ready to go on a plane back to San Diego. I've been sharing Christ for 3.5 days here at 4 colleges in the state of Arkansas.
Now, you've been traveling around the country for how many years doing this?
About 7+ years.
How many colleges and university campuses?
About 94.
Now, how 90, do you...
Actually, it's a little bit more than that, but yeah. It's quite a few.
How do you do that? What do you do?
Well, I've learned by firsthand experience that public schools, most public schools, the vast majority of them, have a free speech area near their food court and or their student union where you can share the gospel. I have signage that I put up. I pass out tracts. I passed out over 43,000 tracts. And I can talk to kids if they aren't in a hurry. You know, that's part of it, is that, you know, they're in between classes or they're coming out from having food, going to a class. So it, the timing has something to do with it, too.
What's your favorite track?
I use, and primarily, my favorite track is the one that helped me get saved, but that's not the one I pass out. And that was a crew or a campus crusade track. About you know, coming to Christ, but the one that I use the most now are the comic book tracks, because those are very popular among young people, and they have a variety of topics. You know, about the empty tomb is one. There's one about a God who loves you. The only hope. There's dozens of varieties
when you go to the college campus, I'm just curious about this because not very many people want to go out and engage the public by themselves like you do and have people shout at you and yell at you and tell you to shut up and all the other things that you do. And I'm sure you have a lot of rewarding conversations as well with college students, but what's the number one question or objection you get when you go out and do these or do you just go to a public forum and just start, what, do you have a megaphone or you just start yelling, or how do you do that?
No, I go one-on-one to people.
Okay.
One-on-one. And I found out that it's more popular if I go to someone that's by themselves instead of a group of, you know, three or four, because
okay.
They're, you know, one of those or a quarter of them might not have any interest in the gospel. But one thing that's wonderful, about a year and a half ago or plus 1.5 to 2 years ago, I was in your state, and a lot of the kids were saved. It was mind-blowing to me. A lot of the kids confessed to being Christians, but what they didn't do and what they weren't aware of is the fact that it's really important for them to share the gospel with their friends. And so, you know, and I found that to be a little bit true in this state, too, of Arkansas. A lot more Christians than other areas around the country. But the goal is to hit all 50 states, and I've been in at least 44 states. And I'm planning on hitting the rest in the next few years.
How old are you?
In addition, I just turned 75.
Okay. Well,
so, but it's important for me. The reason, Tim, that this whole, the need for me to go out is God had the grace of touching my life, when I was in college during my junior year, And what happened there was a dramatic change in my life, where I committed my life to God, and he totally changed it. I was in a dormitory at Linfield College where, unfortunately, and this is in Oregon, there were a lot of kids doing drugs at that time, and I was one of them. And God totally took me off of that and changed my life dramatically. And that endeared me to go back to colleges after I retired from the lending and the banking industry. And it totally dramatically changed my life. So I have a compassion for going to colleges. And in addition to that, Tim, I've had the privilege of sharing on a number of websites testimonies, and that's what helps support my ministry. As you know, I've had three books out. The most recent is called More Amazing Stories, and it's got some incredible testimonies of some famous and some not famous, and I appreciate you endorsing it.
Absolutely. We're talking talking to James Lambert. He's from California. He's traveling right now. He's in Arkansas. He's trying to hit as many college campuses as he can around America he has the health to do so and the finances. He funds his own trips, and he goes and he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many students as he can. Why? Because he was saved, as he said, when he was in college in the 70s, I guess it was.
So, yeah.
And a lot of drug use at the University of Oregon. Was it University of Oregon or just another school there?
No, it was just this it was sort of in different areas of this college. It wasn't the whole college.
Okay.
Because it hadn't, but it still was a factor as it is today. And a lot of people need to understand that, at least in California, where I come from, if you go into a lot of churches, most of the people in the congregation are 50 and older. And that's why it's so important for us to reach out to the younger kids.
All right, tell us about this new book you've got out, More Amazing Stories of Divine Intervention. And tell us about it.
Yeah, it's been endorsed by Pat Boone. I have three people that witnessed Rock Hudson giving his life to Christ 48 hours before he died. And he was one of the first celebrities to have HIV. So people know that he was living a not a good lifestyle. But God touched his life towards the very end of his life. And there's a dramatic story about Dwight Eisenhower in there, and about how God touched him that few people know. And he was responsible for putting In God We Trust on, you know, dollar bills and coins. That was made into legislation where they started doing that. The Federal Reserve did. And
who else?
In addition, go ahead.
Who else did you do you have stories on?
Mickey Rooney had a really messed up life. He was a fairly famous actor in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even beyond that. And he had what he called an angelic encounter, because he tried to confirm to this person that witnessed to him that claimed that they were working there, and they weren't. And this is during the last 5 to 10 years of his life. And what happened is he got so enthusiastic about the Lord that he went on the television interviews about 12 years ago and started sharing how important it is for a person to have God in their life. And this is from a very secular person who went through 8 marriages. In addition to that, there's a great story about a lot of people might remember the television show called The Brady Bunch. Mm-hmm. And there was an actress there. Her name was Ann Davis, who was the maid, and she has a pretty dramatic testimony about how God touched her life. In addition to that, I don't know if you're aware of this, but during the early 70s, late 60s, the song Oh Happy Days was one of the best-selling gospel song of all times. And one of the members of the Edwin Hawkins Centers is in there, and he went to my college. And his testimony is pretty amazing, because when that song was originally produced and introduced, he really wasn't fully committed to Christ, and God, over a period of time, changed his life. And then there's a rock star in it, in addition to a variety of people who God touched and is obviously demonstrated in their testimonies. And the reason I write testimonial books like I did the previously one, which featured people like Steve McQueen and Ronald Reagan and other people, is that testimonies are a great way of sharing your faith with other people. And you can give this book to a friend or a relative, and it'll be people will be touched by it. Just like the actress Barbara Feldon from the TV show called called Get Smart. God can touch anyone if they're open to the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about names that all baby boomers are familiar with, maybe not people under 50, but certainly my age, 62, and probably 55 up, you're probably going to be very familiar with these names. Rock Hudson, Mickey Rooney. You're talking about major Hollywood stars there, and Steve McQueen, and yeah. Didn't you have a story about Mickey Mantle, too?
Yes. Yeah, I got, in fact, Bobby Richardson, who was a star in the 1960 World Series for the Yankees, contacted me and got this new book, and he was the one that gave me the testimony on Mickey Mantle, who got saved just 2 weeks before he died. He had extreme problems with alcohol.
Yeah.
And God touched his life, and God can touch anyone. But there are young people that are in the book too. The thing that's it's important to remember is, as believers, it's sort of our mission to reach out to the lost. And it really needs to be done in this country, because we need a revival. And I think that everyone will admit that will help change our country for the better.
And, absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking to James Lambert, author of More Amazing Stories of Divine Intervention. Wasn't the first book Amazing Stories of Divine Intervention?
No, 16 amazing stories.
Okay.
And then the book that came out before that, in the late 90s, was a book that your dear father endorsed. And from that book, it was an expose of the porn industry. From that book, I got 3 death threats. And what's amazing is the LA Times actually closed down the advertising for the porn industry for a number of months, because of the publicity that book got.
Yep.
So there's some wonderful things that your organization does, and that's promote people that want to reach out to the lost. And most believers realize that that's really important. And God has made it clear to me it's important to him. So that's why I ask people if they could call my 800 number and quickly leave your phone number, and I'll be happy to call you back and get the book, because that sale of the book helps me in doing what I do.
You do your own. You're the sales department?
Yeah.
Are you serious? You serious, Clark? so but people can go online and order the book, right?
Yeah. In fact, I have a website, jamesllambert.com.
All right, go there, people. Don't ring James's phone off the hook at 1-800-JAMES-LAMBERT. So give us a website slowly.
No, it's not 1-800-JAMES-LAMBERT.
I know.
It's a website called jamesllambert.com. You can find out a little bit about me, myself, but also about my new book.
James L. Lambert, LAMBERT.com, right?
Yeah, and they can also, and I prefer them to call my 800 number because I'll be happy to get back to them because just like last night I shared at a wonderful church in the city of Conway, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And they were very delightful in letting me speak there. It's Woodland Heights Baptist Church. And it was just a good experience. And what? I like to encourage people to share with their friends and relatives because it's important not to give up. I found that with some situations in my life where I've been witnessing to people for several decades, that eventually they decide that it's a good decision to make your commitment to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior.
Okay, what's your 1-800 number, and then we'll let you go here.
1-800-656-8603.
1-800. Okay.
1-800-656-8603.
All right, James, thanks so much for your time. God bless you, brother, and your ministry, and we will pray for you, and we'll talk to you soon.
I really appreciate the time you gave to me, Tim, and bless your ministry as well.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. That's James Lambert joining us, and his website where you can order any of his books, and they're just one story after another, and these are stories you can read about them, but these are stories a lot of people, these are a lot of celebrities he mentions who gave their life to Christ after living, you know, hard lives or lives of sin or lives of pride, and how they surrendered their life to the Lord. And so go and JamesLLambert.com. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All those names meant something. You recognize those names.
Look,
you?
Rock Hudson, you're right. Talking about Steve McQueen. The Brady Bunch, right?
Yes.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney. Chris, you probably never heard any of these people.
No, I'm familiar with the names. I actually saw Bullet for the first time not that long ago.
Oh, Steve McQueen's movie?
Yeah, famous movie, car chase scene or whatnot. I know the names, but I'm still brushing up on my carpenters.
I've heard of some of these testimonies before, but I wasn't aware. He mentioned the lady who starred in Get Smart.
Mm. Barbara Feldman. Yeah.
Agent 99.
Yeah.
Agent 99.
That was a great show.
Yeah, I did not. I wasn't aware.
Missed it by that much.
That's right.
Ed can do that better than anybody. Missed it by that much. What was the main guy's?
Maxwell Smart.
I saw
the movie that they made a few years ago with Steve.
What was
Campbell.
The actor's name though? That
Don Adams.
Yeah, Don Adams. Yes. Yeah. What they have about a 3-year run, but it was
it was good.
It was legendary.
Yeah. It was the shoe phone.
99
and the cone of silence. I often use that. We need a cone of silence moment. Oh,
it's called go in the studio.
It was kind of a spoof on the James Bond and the spy movies, spy thrillers of the 60s, right?
Man named Flint. A man named Flint.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of the older 60s TV shows and films. I am somewhat up to speed on those things.
And Mickey Mantle, for people who, have followed sports, he was in the 50s and I don't know how much of the 60s or maybe most of, I don't know. He about a 10-year time period, Ray, when Mickey Mantle was the number one player probably in all of baseball, if not sports in America.
If not all of sports, right? Yeah. He dominated Major League
Baseball. He was the Shohei Ohtani of his day.
There you go.
But he was, you know, the Oklahoma kid, right? He was from Oklahoma, and he played Major League Baseball for years for the famed New York Yankees teams, who won World Series after World Series. And he was he followed Joe DiMaggio as the center fielder for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it was interesting to talk to James too. A reoccurring theme was how many of these well-knowns accepted Christ in the last few years of their life, few months of their lives. So never too late, as James was telling us, never too late to keep praying for family members, you know, that the Holy Spirit keeps on tugging at that heart.
But James has a real passion, as he said, for college kids in particular.
75 years old.
75. That's what I got. The 75 years old Fred. Yeah. Wore me out just listening to him, all the stuff he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, I've known James for probably 30 years on and off. He's from San Diego area, and he's the, as he said, he was in the banking and lending industry.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he retired from that, he just started doing this full time, traveling the country. And he pays his own way.
Yeah.
And just using him. Just using him.
And he loves talking to people. That was obvious to him. He loves talking to people.
So pray for Brother James as he travels America. All right. Thank you for listening this hour. We shall, Chris, appreciate your contributions. And Fred, Ray, and I will return. Is that right? If it isn't right, I don't want to know.
We'll be back.
If that's poor English, I don't want to know. With Steve Paisley Jordahl after this 5-minute break for news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.